Hello and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Easter Sunday, April 17th, to welcome you to the podcast. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We will begin in Exodus chapter 21, verses 12 through 36. And in this passage, we see the so-called law of retaliation. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. According to my study Bible, this law of retaliation was meant to limit the punishment to fit the crime. So you should never take more than a tooth if someone hits your tooth out. I don't know. But by invoking the law of love in the New Testament, Jesus corrects this popular misunderstanding of the law of retaliation. And as we're thinking about the crucifixion and the resurrection this Easter season, I'm also just struck by the fact that God in human form, He did not retaliate against our sin. He took on our sin instead. So He took the punishment instead of us taking the punishment that fits our crime. Exodus 21, 12 through 36. Anyone who strikes a person with a fatal blow is to be put to death. However, if it is not done intentionally, but God lets it happen, they are to flee to a place I will designate. But if anyone schemes and kills someone deliberately, that person is to be taken from my altar and put to death. Anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death. Anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death, whether the victim has been sold or is still in the kidnapper's possession. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. If people quarrel and one person hits another with a stone or with their fist, and the victim does not die but is confined to bed, the one who struck the blow will not be held liable if the other can get up and walk around outside with a staff. However, the guilty party must pay the injured person for any loss of time and see that the victim is completely healed. Anyone who beats their male or female slave with a rod must be punished if the slave dies as a direct result. But they are not to be punished if the slave recovers after a day or two, since the slave is their property. If people are fighting and hit a pregnant woman, and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burned, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. An owner who hits a male or female slave in the eye and destroys it must let the slave go free to compensate for the eye. And an owner who knocks out the tooth of a male or female slave must let the slave go free to compensate for the tooth. If a bull gores a man or woman to death, the bull is to be stoned to death, and its meat must not be eaten. But the owner of the bull will not be held responsible. If, however, the bull has had the habit of goring, and the owner has been warned but has not kept it penned up, and it kills a man or woman, the bull is to be stoned, and its owner also is to be put to death. However, if payment is demanded, the owner may redeem his life by the payment of whatever is demanded. This law also applies if the bull gores a son or daughter. If the bull gores a male or female slave, the owner must pay 30 shekels of silver to the master of the slave, and the bull is to be stoned to death. If anyone uncovers a pit or digs one and fails to cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls into it. The one who opened the pit must pay the owner for the loss and take the dead animal in exchange. If anyone's bull injures someone else's bull and it dies, the two parties are to sell the live one and divide both the money and the dead animal equally. However, if it was known that the bull had the habit of goring, yet the owner did not keep it penned up, the owner must pay animal for animal and take the dead animal in exchange. And now let's read from Psalm 116. Yesterday I mentioned that this group of Psalms, 113 through 118, would have been read or sung at the Passover meal. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return to your rest, my soul. For the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trust in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Before we began reading this psalm, I wish I had asked you to listen to this psalm in light of Jesus and His last Passover, as we're thinking about this week. Again and again, I just see Jesus all over this psalm. And as Mark Gennolette has reminded us this week, the Old Testament is pointing to Him. Remember on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus encounters the two disciples and He reveals Himself to these disciples, and He shows them from the law and the prophets and the psalms who He is. And so if you look back, you can see so many things. Verse 3, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. And then the Lord saves him in verse 4. In verse 7 and 8, we see him again. The Lord has been good to you, delivered me from death. And then in verse 13, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. He has fulfilled His vow, verse 14, His vow to go to the cross for us, to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Okay, let's move on. Romans chapter 9, we're in verses 19 through the end of the chapter. That will be verse 33. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist His will? But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes, and some for common use. What if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? Even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the Israelites be like the sand by the sea, only the remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. It was just as Isaiah said previously. Unless the Lord Almighty has left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But the people of Israel, who pursued the law as a way of righteousness, have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. On this Easter Sunday, I just want to celebrate with you and to thank the Lord for his blessing. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins, to give his life for us. Thank you, Lord, that he did not stay in the grave, but he rose again, that you faithfully resurrected him from the dead, and he now stands and sits at the right hand of you, Lord. We thank you for the Spirit which you have given us, and we thank you, Lord, for a day to remember and to proclaim. Help us to be the kind of people who seek you in your righteousness by faith. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Mm-hmm.